Welcome to the Short Rod Show. You're talking with Ben.
And you got Brett.
Hey, thanks for joining us, everybody. I'm down here in the basement. Brett, where are you at tonight?
I'm in my garage in the car after I got all the kids to bed.
Hiding out,
and I got my New England Natural beaver skin koozie out.
What in the
holding my Grain Belt light beer.
I thought you were going to say that is your beaver skin beer, and I was just going to
beaver skin koozie.
All right,
I'll take a picture of it and put it on Facebook.
Yeah, we need to check that out.
I like it a lot, actually. It's a little shorter than a normal koozie, so it keeps the fur out of your mouth. But it keeps your hand warm and your beer cold.
There you go. That's about perfect.
It's kind of like you're petting a cat the whole time. I can't help but like pet it while I'm
just gives you something to fiddle with. That's right up your alley. Yep. That's perfect. Well, Brett, what are we talking about today?
Well, Ben, we finally got out on the ice. Yeah. Finally able to start fishing a little bit.
Man, what a season. What a wild ride up to this point.
Jeez.
And even after this point, looks like it'll still be wild.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, not getting any better. But so I think we'll talk a little bit about, because we didn't fish together probably for the first time in 5 years.
Yep. Yep.
Separate experiences, both took the boys out. Chat about that a little bit, how the gear performed, new gear performed. And
yeah, I definitely want to hear about the farm pond experience now and how that's different fishing maybe than our public water fishing.
I've been pretty pleased with it so far.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Good. Good deal. Well, yeah, no, we appreciate everybody jumping in and listening here. That last episode we dropped with Bob Urban from Murray's Outdoor Store is taking off. That's got some great feedback there, so once again, we appreciate Bob being a guest here on the show, and always great to chat with him and catch up. And in about a week, we'll be up in the Guttenberg area, so we'll be out fishing out on the ice on the Mississippi River, hopefully, fingers crossed. Ice conditions they're there, but it's going to be...
You can see us at you can find us at the damn pub.
Yep.
One of the two.
Yep.
I mean, we're going no matter what, whether there's ice or not, we're going.
Yeah,
I already got the time off work, we're going.
Yeah, I asked my wife too. I'm like, is it going to be a big deal if we get up there and we actually don't fish and I'm just gone for a few days? Nah, it's fine. Do what you want.
I mean, okay, on her end, does it matter?
No.
It's not like she's like, oh, Ben, you got to bring home this big pile of fish to feed
your family.
No, we don't
do that anyway. We're already up there. Yeah. We already spent the money. We're going to just do it. So.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, good. So, yeah, if anybody's been following along with weather, that's probably been similar to what we've had here, but it got really snowy, and we had two rounds of blizzards, it seemed like, here in central Iowa, at least 10 inches, almost 2 feet of snow between the two of them, and then it got really cold. I mean, 10, 20, it actually hit 20 below zero air temp.
Yeah, real temperature.
Yeah. Yep. Deep freeze right after that, which is about the worst time to do it, but that's all right. It actually froze and locked up all the lakes pretty quick, and we got decent ice out of it. Unfortunately, that first week it was blizzard, and so it was really hard to get around anywhere around here. So I know, Brad, especially for you down where you're at, that was no joke.
Yeah, we weren't doing anything other than pushing snow and trying to survive, mostly. But, once the wind stopped blowing and we were actually able to get out there. Now, what I was really looking forward to having my own pond was I could just drive to the side of the pond and just put my stuff in.
Yep.
But the drifts were too tall. I still had to pull all my stuff out. I still had to drag everything out there.
Oh, dang. Dang
it. I couldn't drive out
there. See, any other year, though, Brett, you'd be able to do that. No problem, right? Now, this is kind of this is unusual to get the 2 feet of snow and then drifts.
Yep.
And blown all over, but that kind of takes away a little bit of the fun, but. No, so tell me about
it was good.
Tell me about your outing. What'd you haul out there? What did it look like that day?
Yeah, so still kind of learning, figuring out that pond, how things work. So it's about 20 foot deep. Even already at,
is it really?
It's probably 4 foot low right now. So I bet normal pool, it's close to 25 foot deep.
Okay, that's good.
It's a deep
encouraging.
Little
All right.
Yep. Yeah. Really holds the fish tight.
Yep.
A lot of fish swimming around out there.
Heck yeah.
See them with the panoptics. You basically just drill a hole in the middle and you can see around the whole pond.
Yep.
So far, what we've pulled out of there are, I don't know, I'd say about 2-pound bass, 10 to 12 inch crappies,
yep,
and probably 6 to 7 inch bluegills.
All right. That's a good start. I mean, that's pretty solid.
The neighbors have said that there are some other things that are stocked in there, but I'm not going to talk about them until we actually catch one.
There you go. All right. We got to have a little suspense here for everybody.
I'm hopeful there's a few cats in there also, but we'll see.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. 20 foot deep, really.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised to see how deep it was.
They did that right then. That's what I was wondering. Oh, yeah. You kind of have to have a good mix of the deep part of the pond and then have a little bit, spread out littoral areas, right?
Yep.
Where you can get a little, fish spawn going on and some weeds and all that. So that's awesome. Good. Heck yeah.
Yep. So I definitely don't have to worry too much about a winter kill, I don't think,
mm-hmm.
In that pond at that point then. But the first day we went out there, crushed them on the droplet with a white noogie on it.
Oh, yeah. The white.
Just crushed them.
Dang.
This is private pond fishing here. Like, you just drop it down, jiggle a little bit, and fish will come and hit it. The last couple times we've been out, much more difficult.
Really?
But I feel like the difference is that first time we went out was in the morning. It was like 9:30, 10 o'clock until noon. Well, the last couple times we've gone out were in the afternoon, evening, and after dark.
Mm-hmm.
Late afternoon, evening, and after dark. And we still caught some fish, but nothing like that first morning where we were out there fishing. With wax worms running the same plastic profile and everything, yep, fishing the same holes.
Yep.
Because they didn't refreeze because it's too warm now.
Oh, yeah. They're not getting any bigger, though, are they?
Nope. The holes are still the same size, but they just didn't freeze over.
All right.
I'd say got 6 inches of good ice on the pond still. It might be today might be the last day we fish that until we get another cold snap.
Yeah.
It's pretty soft on top.
Yep.
But
so
otherwise
you talked about you use the droplet first. Was Thomas fishing the droplet on his rod too?
Oh no, he likes to start out with the big bait.
Ooh.
He's a big bait, go big or go home sort of kid.
Yep.
Like he's like on his little regular fishing pole that he's casting. I mean, he likes to cast about a 4-inch swim bait on there, no matter what. did he have on there first? I think he put a rattling flyer on there first with a noogie on the hook. So it'd make like a little L shape.
Yep. Yep. Classic profile.
So the noogie was vertical. But yeah. He did catch a few on that. We got to work on setting the hook a little bit. A little bit different than open water fishing where he's just reeling in and they bite it.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
We got to work on that part.
A lot less leeway here. You got to be feeling for it, looking for it.
Yep. But he's a schoolie master already.
Oh, heck.
We got him down. He pulls the line out rather than trying to unreel it to get it back down to the bottom. And
that's testing his drag.
Really likes to set it down. Likes to just set as many poles as he can out there on the little stand.
Yep.
The little two-leg stand that they come with and loads them up and, yep, gets them all baited up, ready to roll.
That's awesome. Very good. Awesome. And you had your shelter out there with you?
Today we didn't. Otherwise, yes.
Yeah.
Yep. We've used the shelter the other times. But now, we've been fishing for about 8 days now and I think we've gotten out 5 times.
That's really good.
It hasn't been too bad.
Heck yeah. Yeah.
Well, it helps that it's only, 100 yards from my back door.
Yeah, you can just hike up there and spend half an hour if you want or an hour, whatever. Yep. Whatever time you got.
Yep.
Oh, that's perfect. Tell me about how your auger's working out.
Oh, yeah. So I had to change the blades. I had to put the new blades. I had to put your hand-me-down blades on, Ben.
How old were those blades? I was going to say, those that haven't listened along through the seasons, right? What's the history on your Strike Master bit?
So my Strike Master bit, I bought it used on Facebook. I don't know. Was that 4 years ago?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Maybe three?
Yeah.
3 or 4 years ago, bought it used. So who knows how old those blades were prior to that. But I'd never changed them out. I was still cutting with the blades that they came with when I bought them. And yeah, when I got to it this year, they were pretty dull. Like we were just shaving. It looked like snow cone ice.
Yeah.
Like we had to do something else.
Was it skipping around a lot too? Or I guess
what? It was a little bit, but not too bad.
Okay.
It was still biting pretty decent.
Yeah. Yep. They're just dull.
They're just that was truly dull at that point. So yeah, popped your hand-me-down blades on, and I mean they're cutting like butter again now.
Yeah, so those
especially with the soft ice.
Those are the blades that were originally on my 7-inch bit when I bought that. And then I used those for I think a season. And then I was like, I'm just gonna buy some new blades. So I threw some new blades on, and then I threw the old blades in a pack and I gave them to you as a backup.
Yep. Well, and I needed them now.
Now they're running again.
Because I'd had those. You probably gave those to me 2 years ago.
Oh, no, I was going to say 3 years ago, at least. I probably gave them to you right when you got your bit, because I think I got my 7-inch bit before you got yours.
Might have been.
Because you were still running the old Solo Strike Master.
Yep. That's right.
Up until that point, so nice. Yeah, well, the old farm pond ice, that'll really put a hurt to your blades. Get all that grit on there.
Yeah, I don't know. Farm. It's pretty clean. I'm actually pretty impressed with how clean the pond is.
So what's the water clarity like? Better than
you can
think?
See down there a ways. Okay. Oh, yeah. You can see fish responding to your bait from a couple feet away.
That is awesome.
Pretty easily.
I'm getting jazzed up about it. That's fantastic.
Yep.
That'll be some good fishing in the summer then, too.
Oh, I think so, especially if we can get some water and float our dock so it's not sitting at a 30-degree angle.
Yeah.
That'd be exactly. Cool, too.
Yep. Well, good. Heck, yeah. So successful successful season so far.
I've been pleased so far.
Have you gotten out anywhere else?
Nope. I'm talking with a buddy, and I'm going to go fishing with him tomorrow evening, another buddy. He went to a pond. It's a public place just north of me. Kind of a little honey hole, evidently.
Okay. All right. We'll talk offline about that.
He went out there, and there may be only one other hole drilled prior to him going out there. Brought home a bucket full of keeper bluegills.
All right.
Pretty happy about it. Yep.
Heck yeah.
Yep.
Well, here, let me grab another beer. I gotta set my headphones down now. You keep talking about it.
Okay.
All right. I'll be right back.
Oh, sure. Yep. So, yeah, I think it's probably a real similar type, just kind of farm pond type thing that I've got here. I haven't had an opportunity really much to venture out on any more of the larger public bodies of water. I do know, we talk about that here a lot on the podcast, that generally, if you can, heading south to go ice fishing is usually a pretty good idea, especially if you're targeting bluegills, perch. Catfish, something like that, is generally pretty good fishing if you head south of Des Moines rather than north. But as I keep rambling on here, I don't know what I'm going to talk about until Ben gets back. He must be going to get into
beer. Oh, I've been back a while. I was just going to see how long you were going to hold out on me. See if you were talking about me when I was over by the fridge.
Nope. I wasn't until I started running out of stuff to say.
There you go. It's not the same by yourself. I know.
Well, you kind of put on the spot for a minute, and then you're like rambling.
Well, no, I thought I grabbed another one, but I didn't. So then I was out. So now I'm back on it. I got a Space Invader, Space Camper, Cosmic IPA from Boulevard. I don't know how old these are, but
what kind of koozie you got?
You don't need a koozie down here. It's freaking
koozie.
It's like a morgue down here in the basement.
Gotcha.
The old concrete floor just keeps her nice and chilly.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah, a couple of mine. I was a little concerned. A couple of my Greenbelt lights got frozen out in the garage in that cold snap.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Had to bring them into the fridge and warm them up.
So, quick story about that. We buy the packs, like 35 packs of Diet Coke at Costco, and I usually keep them in the garage. No big deal, right? During that cold snap, though, I'm out snow blowing my driveway, and I hear a And I think, and I'm like, I look around. I didn't really know where it's coming from. But this is while I was running the snowblower, right? That's how loud it was.
Sure.
And I didn't think anything of it. You know, I'm like, okay, whatever. Well, anyway, about 5 minutes later, I'm snowblowing, coming back up the driveway, and I'm looking in the garage, and a can of Diet Coke explodes again. Poof, blows the top off the Diet Coke, hits one of the lights, and knocks one of my lights off the garage ceiling.
Holy smokes!
And blows Diet Coke all over our van, like slushy, slushy Diet Coke. So I'm like, holy crap, okay, this is like getting dangerous. The kids are up there sleeping, you know, like, yep. I go in there trying to, like, avoid keeping my head anywhere near these, you know, and they're,
oh, yeah,
they're still in the pack, right? Two of them are blown up, and so I'm like, all right, I don't know what to do with this. I'm just going to haul it out. I, like, hold it out with one hand as far away from me as I can, run it out to the garbage can, throw it in the garbage can, and shut the lid.
Yeah.
And I come back in, and I told my wife about it. She's like, well, why didn't you bring those inside here? We could thaw them out. I'm like, they're going to freaking blow at any moment. Like, this this is critical stuff here. So literally, as I'm watching TV, you know, our garbage can's outside, and I hear, just it blew probably three or four more up that night. And I thought about telling my neighbors about it. It's like, you know, if you hear something, it's all right. Here's, you know, here's what's going on. But it kind of got a lot more muffled in that garbage can, which is good. But
nice.
Yeah, it got real chilly. didn't think goodness. Anything
yeah,
of it.
You would have woke up in the morning and wondered, like, what the hell happened to my car?
Oh, my gosh. I know. It's terrible. Yep. So it definitely got cold. That 20 below zero in the garage probably made it 10 degrees outside in there. I don't know. Maybe it's not a heated garage by any means. So, yep.
Yeah. I was a little concerned, you know, moving into a new house and all that sort of thing, how the furnace and all that stuff was going to keep up. But we seemed to fare pretty good. It did all right.
Good to
Didn't
go.
Have any problems with that. Did have to call and get the propane refilled, but.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't a big deal.
Yep.
Well, it dropped about shit because it dropped from like 35% down to 25% overnight. And I was like, no freaking way did I just burn 10% of my gas.
But in one day.
It was just a temperature deal and it lost pressure.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I got you.
Because that gauge that tells you the percentage off of pressure.
It went from being like decent out to being Arctic.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. So it was just that pressure change and then it dropped and but for a little bit, cause this is the first house I've owned that runs off of propane or LP. So when I first looked at it, I'm like, holy shit, we got to get the guy called up and get him out here and fill the sucker up.
Yep.
Yeah. We're going to burn to 1,000 gallon here this month.
Jeez.
But no, we're all good.
Country
that was
living.
Just a short 10 minute panic for a second. Then my senses came to me.
Yeah. No, this is the first year I ever heard our furnace kick onto high. It's never done that before.
Yeah.
It's the two speed, you know, high and low, whatever. Cooks along and low. But yeah, it made a real funny, like, higher pitch noise. And my dad ears perked right up, you know, thinking something's wrong with the furnace. And I just hear it wind up and like, okay. I went and checked it out and said high. I'm like, oh. That's all right. It's 20 below zero.
We're fine.
We'll take it.
Yep.
We're comfy.
It's cold out.
Heck yeah. Yeah. So, no, I wanted to touch on my trip because I went to a couple different ponds last weekend.
In-town ponds. No big lakes. Yep.
No, might venture out on the bigger lake tomorrow. We'll see. We'll see how the three-year-old's feeling. But, no, so last weekend it was still, let's see. Saturday, I think, was 10 degrees, 5 degrees, something like that for the high. So got out, loaded everything up, went to the local pond about, I don't know, 7:30 or so. There's another story. So on the way, right, I'm driving around scoping out some ponds to go to, and there are snow piles everywhere around. I mean, there's drifts, there's like... Access is a little bit tricky on some of them because typically you can just park in a parking lot, dump your sled right off, you know, no big deal to go over a little snow pile, but some of these were massive where we typically go in. So I'm scouting around. And I see this lady parked in a Ford Explorer over by these apartments. It's over by the subway. You kind of know where that's at, Brett. But she's parked over there with the flashers on. And this is 7:15 in the morning, right?
So something's going on. Weird.
So I kind of drive by, I'm scouting spots. And she's in there, she's got her dog in there too. I'm like, it just kind of bothered me. So I circle back around, came back over, you know, rolled my window down, was like, hey, you know, if you need any help, what's going on? She's like, well, I ran out of gas. I'm like, oh, that's a big deal. Like it's negative 10 degrees right now. So anyway, long story short, I was only a couple blocks from my house. I'm like, just hold on a second. I'll run back home, grab some gas, grab a gas can, brought it back. Little did she know, I had to get rid of that gas anyway, because it's starting to age out. I keep some to run for my generator and try and keep it going.
Yep. But
I'm always dumping it in my vehicles, trying to cycle it through at the end of the season. So,
yep.
Anyway, no big deal. Dump can of gas in there. I'm thinking, okay, what are the odds this Ford Explorer is going to start? Right, sitting there for who knows how long, and popped right off. No big deal. It was like
nice.
It cranked a little bit and fired up, and she had a quarter tank after that 5 gallons was in there, and away she went. So that was good.
Ready to rock and roll.
Heck yeah.
Off into the sunset.
Yep. So found another pond, drove down there, unloaded all my stuff, got out there. Of course, nobody around. Like literally the whole neighborhood's just, they're sleeping. It's 10 below zero on a Saturday, right? But the sun was shining. So that was good.
Yep.
That helps a lot. And there was no wind. That was also huge. You can accomplish a lot when there's no wind and it's 10 below zero. It does, you know, it's night and day versus when there is some wind blowing. But right away, as soon as I get out of the truck, I go put two batteries in the diesel heater, fire that thing up, right? Like with the shelter flipped open, whatever. Like just let's get the diesel heater fired up.
Get it started.
Yep. And it flamed out the first time.
Ooh.
Which wasn't a big deal because I was still pulling it out to the spot, right? I mean, it takes a couple minutes to reset, then it'll start to try and fire off again. But I get out to the spot, check around a little bit. Forward view on the live scope, amazing. I saw so far out. I was scoping out 120 feet. You know, I was seeing the contour changes and seeing the little. Mm-hmm. I found the spot was a little, you know, depression in the. I guess it'd be like the first break kind of on the pond. But I found that, you know, just a little dip spot within that, which is really cool. And that seemed to be kind of the traveled path where all these fish were coming through. So I was able to find that with the live scope, which is awesome.
And you find it basically right away, like within.
Oh yeah. Yes.
A couple minutes.
Yep. Saw some suspended fish out there, but nothing too crazy, like nothing worth running around and in the cold.
Yeah, because they're just going to move anyways if you try to.
Yep, so I posted up on that spot. Diesel heater fired up, running good. I found some advanced diesel heater settings, Brett. And I kind of went down the little diesel heater settings rabbit hole because I didn't know this, but there is a password that you can put into that controller and you can access like different settings for the heater.
Huh.
One of them is the fuel pump speed, and the other one is like the fan speed for different settings. There's like a high altitude mode. You can switch it to a thermostat mode, which was super cool. So anyway, I got to play around with all that in between fishing. So I ended up, it was cold out, and I dinked around with the diesel heater controller and got it to run a little bit harder. So you remember, like, high is like 3.2 on mine. So it goes from 1 to 3.2. That's like low to high. I got it up. I can go up to 5.5. in the settings.
What does 5.5 mean?
Like
fan
how,
speed?
How fast your fuel pump goes.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't want to burn it up, but I ran it up.
Yeah, do we really need to be cranking it that hard?
No, not at all. Yeah. But I just want to see what it would do. So I put it up to 4. I'm thinking, okay, 3.2 up to 4. That's not that crazy. So now it runs from 1 to 4. But if you go above 4, it'll start taking the pump speed off at the low end. So instead of 1 to 4.
You can't get as low anymore.
No, it'll go like 1.4 to 4.4, right?
Sure.
So 5.5 only lets you go down to like 1.8.
So do you notice, could you notice a markable heat difference?
Yes, that's what I was impressed. So, it has the temperature readout on it for what the, I guess the flame sensor is or whatever, the actual combustion that's happening in there. Normally it sits around 165, right?
Yep.
On 3.2. At 4.0, it was up to 192. And that thing was cooking. I mean,
yeah, you're going to start melting stuff.
Well, it was spitting out some good heat. Like if it's not negative 10 degrees out, I wouldn't have been running it like that, but it really made a difference. So, I ran it like that for probably 20 minutes or so just to see how hot I could get it in my shelter at 10, negative 10 out. And it got it up to 26 degrees Celsius, which is
dang,
I don't know, 70.
Yeah.
North of 70 toasty. Probably. Right.
That's
so then I put it on thermostat mode. So I let it sit at 22 degrees, I think, thermostat mode. So it would just run on high until it gets to 22, and then it would drop automatically to low until it goes below 22, and then it'd kick up onto high again.
Yeah.
Like just like your thermostat in your house. It wouldn't shut off, but, you don't really want it shut off. So I was pretty impressed with it. That turned out good. Then I was just checking things out, and I figured I'd walk outside.
So you're telling me fishing was slow is what you're telling me.
Scope out spots. Actually,
if you had enough time
to
play with all that.
It was right off the bat.
Oh, okay.
It was really good right off the bat, but the bite definitely died about 9:30.
I mean,
hour and a half, it was great. And then 9:30 on, not a whole lot happening. And I think it was just because the sun got pretty high. I mean, it was bright under there. I was surprised for how uneven the snow kind of blew around on the lake. That made a big difference because there was still some pretty thin spots of snow that let a lot of light through there. But the spots that had snow had about, 6 to 8 inches of ice. And the spots that didn't have a lot of snow were like a foot or more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. It was a lot different, pretty uneven, so. That was interesting, but I went outside to go just check some spots, right? Look around. There were some black chunks blown out of that diesel heater exhaust. I mean, it definitely burned out some crud.
Rolling coal.
It didn't smoke at all. Coal. It just blew some chunks out of it.
Gotcha.
That's
was the first time you really ran it, right?
Well, yeah, ran it for the season, and then I ran it hard. Yeah. I mean, cranked her up and let her spin.
Well, maybe that's something you need to do every so often. Drill,
well, that's what I'm thinking. I always hear about
creosote or any buildup.
Yeah, those kind of carboning up over time and, need to be manually pulled apart and clean the combustion chamber and all that.
Yep.
I think it worked well. Blew some chunks out of it, and she's running just like the day it was new. Maybe even better.
And it's 3 years old now?
Yep, 3 years old.
This third season?
Yep, and the fuel pump keeps getting quieter, I think. I think she's really getting that sweet
spot. I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
We'll find out here next week. I don't
quieter
know.
Quieter or weaker,
too
one
much,
or the other.
But I mean, it ran great, so no complaints there. But yeah, so sweet. The fishing wasn't bad. Caught, I think I caught 5 bluegills and 2 bass.
What'd you think of that new rod?
The Saki rod was excellent.
Yep.
That was my main one that I caught most of those on. I think I caught the last bass on that, knockoff tickle stick from Lake Effect from the other company. It's not Lake Effect.
I was saying that Lake Effect one's not a knockoff of
anything. No, I just didn't get to
its own deal.
One. Yeah. Yeah. No, circle tackle.
I'm definitely going to borrow that lake effect from you during the Mississippi trip to try it out.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I'm looking forward to that. So, yeah, it worked well. It was awesome. It was great.
Nice.
Great to try something different. I was kind of mentioning before the call, but this is the first season in probably five seasons almost that I haven't used a bullwhip as the first rod of the season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Big deal.
Mm-hmm.
New leaf.
That it was.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, I fished till, I don't know, 11 or so, and then there was nothing happening. So packed everything up. Luckily, I had the remote start running on the pickup a couple different times just to keep it warm.
Yeah.
Because, man, it was chilly.
Yeah. Yep. Did you bring any snacks out with you?
So that's the funny part. I brought absolutely nothing. I was so thirsty, Brett. I had no water. I had nothing. Like,
well, you said you were right next to a Subway, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Were they not open?
No, I was just stubborn.
Oh.
I mean, I was thirsty.
That's exactly what I would have done. I would have journeyed over there and got a foot long.
Yep. Got something to drink because, yeah, I brought literally nothing. And I'm kind of known for that. If I'm just in fish mode, I just show up.
I wouldn't say you're known for that. Usually you're the snack man.
Well, when I don't really prepare, though, you know, this trip was kind of like, oh, yeah, I'll just go out for the first time. Well, I'm rusty, right? I'm making sure I got all the right batteries and I got this.
Yeah, the kinks to work out.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So then last thing I thought about was like water or anything. So.
Yep.
But yeah, no, I went out the next day. And it was much warmer, which is good. So it was maybe 20 degrees, but it was windy. It was 30 mile an hour winds. The snow was starting to drift a little bit again. A bear still. And took my son out. Henry really wanted to get out there. So we went on a little
Old
different
move.
Pond. I know. He's got good boots this year, though. Really excited about that. He's got the legit, you know, 30 below rated whatever kids' boots.
Well, really, inside that shack, the big deal is having them stand on top of those tiles instead of having their boots on the ground or on the ice. That's a big deal.
Yep. Yeah, that worked well. So we unloaded. Man, that otter is getting to be a bear, I think, with those runners as they're getting worn out. I think that's making a difference. There's a lot more friction there.
A little more snow.
You know, just not being slick.
Well, so, maybe you're getting a little older.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, I'm definitely
a little more tired.
Definitely, you know. I know we had a comment on our post about, do you pull it out with a quad? I'm like, well, most of the time, no. You know, depends on the lake. Like tomorrow, I'll probably take the quad out because I'll be covering some miles. But just got to be a man about it.
Yep, just got to be a man about it. Yep. That's usually what I tell myself. I got to do something that's going to really suck.
Yep.
Just got to be a man about it. Just do it.
But yeah, I made it out there, got everything set up, scoped everything out. There was another group of people on that pond, which I was kind of impressed. So we took the shallower side. Not saying that was probably the right move, but I mean, I'm not gonna on a small pond, I don't need to be 20 feet away from somebody, you know.
Yeah.
And we were making tons of noise. I mean, Henry's just
all over the place,
running around and running the ice scoop up and down and banging on stuff. And so, we kind of did our own thing. Caught some bluegills, caught some bass.
That's been a big change in Thomas this year. Is he has dialed in. Like, we took toys with us, but they were not played with. All he does is hold the fishing rod and he's ready to catch fish.
That's awesome.
He's looking at the panoptics. He's like, Dad, where's my bait and where's the fish at?
Yes.
Like, wanting to understand what he's looking at and all that stuff. Like, he's dialed in now.
He's probably listening to the podcast when you're not looking.
He might be. He might be tuning in on a preschool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Yep. That's awesome. Good.
Yep. He's dialed in.
Good. Now Henry.
He's got his own rods now. Made me put his name on two of my schoolies.
Oh, really?
I had to write Thomas on two of them.
We got to leave those behind next week then. Make sure he can.
Well,
he can
I don't know about that. He'll just have to let me borrow them.
Dad, don't take my rods. That's awesome. Good.
Yep.
Now Henry's getting there too. I mean, he spent a solid 20 minutes at a time fishing. And I was impressed. That's a lot for a little kid, a 3-year-old, so 3.5-year-old.
Yep.
But no, he did great and we caught some fish. It was pretty cold. Kept the heat on. Not cranked all the way up, but.
So here's the deal.
Yeah.
We haven't even brought the heater out yet.
Oh, nice.
That's how dialed in.
Yeah.
How dialed in Thomas is now is we're sitting in the cold. I mean, he's bundled up, obviously.
Well, yeah, sure.
And we're only 200 yards from the house, but.
Yep.
That's no heat is what we're bringing out there.
Yeah, you got to figure out a heat solution again, right? You got the sunflower.
I've got the sunflower and I've got a buddy heater. I just don't have any tanks for it.
What do you mean tanks? Like 1-pounders?
Yeah, I just don't have any 1-pounders for it.
Oh, all right. I figure you'd be out there refilling them off your 1,000-gallon tank.
Well, my brother works for the propane company. I just go fill up off the bullet.
There you go.
Really get after it.
Yep. Oh,
but,
man.
Refill
them. There you go.
Yeah.
No, that's good. Because, yeah, the old sunflower heater, that's, I don't know. You were talking about that last year being a little dangerous.
Yeah, you're just asking somebody to get burned on it.
Yep.
Yep.
And that's almost too much heat for your shelter. If it's not damn cold.
Oh, I can't even leave it on low. I got to shut it off. Even when it's damn cold, I got to shut it off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, it's still too much heat.
Yep.
Yeah.
You just run with the door open, you know.
I do.
A little directional heat.
I open all the vents up and just let it run.
Yep.
Yep. And now, I mean, I really need to use it because that's between that and my fryer, that's the only thing that I have that really runs on propane anymore anyways.
Yeah, true.
Yep. Or that uses the 25-pound tanks, and I got freaking 4 cylinders. So I got to use them for something.
So Brett, we're going out to the Mississippi River next week.
Yep.
What are you most looking forward to out there? What are going to be your takeaways this year, maybe that we'll do different than last year?
Well, I'd say number one is just getting out with the boys.
So this might be more of a social trip than anything.
Yeah.
All right.
That sort of deal, getting out, hanging out, seeing everybody, chit-chatting. But if you really want to talk, you know, brass fishing, really looking forward to kind of dialing in a little bit more on the tip-up game.
Okay.
Because last year we did it. The first year we went out there, I feel like we had a lot of success. Great success running the tip-ups. And I'm trying to still figure out what was the difference between last year or 2 years ago and last year. Because last year, we had them out there, but we didn't quite see the success that we saw the year before. So I wonder if there's some opportunity to dial that in a little bit. Bob at the bait store is still talking about tip downs and that sort of stuff. So maybe we'll try to get some.
Yep.
Implement some tip downs and see what the difference is and how all that works.
I do need to rig one of those up on the pool table here and just test it out.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure it's going to work with what we have. And yeah, absolutely. I think I bought 2 of them actually.
Yep.
So, yep. Good.
Yep. That's mostly mine. And then maybe try to hustle some locals at the bar to see if they know any more information to milk out of them to share with you guys on the podcast.
Yep. I like it. I like it. I know.
You got anything you're looking forward to, Ben?
Yeah. No, I'm glad you mentioned the social part of that because there is a lot of pressure when we go on these trips. I feel like in the past, you know, especially if we're on a condensed kind of schedule, right? We get limited time away to just ice fish and figure something out and get on a pattern and break down some water. So I'm looking forward to this. You know, this year we have a little bit more time. Which is good, spread it out a little bit. You know, just nice to get out with the guys and have a good time doing what we love. And if we succeed, like I think we probably will, because we have some good resources here. And
oh, we'll find the fish.
It's not for
we'll
lack of trying, fish. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we got.
They just might not be super big.
Yeah, yep. But the trophies are out there too, so. If it's a 20-to-1 ratio to a, you know, nice fish, we'll get on them. So we'll find them.
That's all right, too.
The other. But, yeah, hopefully the ice holds a little bit, and where everybody else listening here, it holds up for you at least another week. I don't know. It's going to be a little rough. What a season. Short.
I'm a little nervous about the ice fish.
Not that sweet.
Mississippi trip, but we'll see what happens.
Well, there's a bunch of air in the tires on the quad, so that should hopefully keep it up a little bit. I'd like
hold
to think it'd float.
Us. It'll float us all.
About that. Yeah, exactly. We'll throw an inner tube around it and see if she holds up. But
there we go.
Yep. No, that'll be a good time. We're getting everything out, and I'll spend the rest of this weekend here getting stuff set up, packing
yep.
up.
Yep.
Mostly the cooking stuff. I'll start
getting packed up here on Monday.
Yeah. I haven't really done a lot of cooking yet this season, so I need to make sure I got to do a little dry run, make sure we got everything.
Sweet. Sweet. Yep. Looking forward to it, man.
Yep. Good deal. All right, guys. Well, we will catch you next time on
The Short Rod Show.